is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at the New York Photo Festival in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm with Kathy Ryan, the photo editor of the New York Times Magazine. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
Kathy, let's talk about this new festival. This is the first year, right? The inauguration of a brand new photography event in America. And let's talk about how you got involved with this and what spurred its creation.
Frank Evers of Seven Photo Agency and Daniel Powers of Powerhouse Books asked me if I wanted to be part of this. They had this idea to make a photo festival, and they felt that Dumbo would be the perfect place. It's kind of a magical place, very contained. There's a lot of texture and history to it. And it's basically spitting distance from Manhattan, so it just seemed like it was the perfect small area, intimate area, that would be conducive for a photo festival. And they asked if I'd be one of the curators, so I said yes. I was just thrilled at the prospect of doing something like that. I look at photography all the time, obviously, and my job is a picture editor and assign photography all the time. But curating and putting together an exhibition is a different thing. So it was a real chance to use different muscles and look at photography with a different end goal in mind.
For our listeners from different parts of the country, they may not be aware what Dumbo stands for. So could you tell everybody?
Down Under Manhattan Bridge Overpass. It's an area just outside Manhattan, first stop in Brooklyn on the F train. And there's sort of two bridges that go over, and it's Dumbo, Down Under Manhattan Bridge Overpass. I don't know that much about Dumbo. To be honest, I'd only come out here two or three times in all these years before the festival. Now I'm kind of falling in love with it, coming out here regularly for the festival preparations.
Now, there are a lot of festivals in the country at this point. What was the reason and what spurred the idea of another one in New York?
The reason for it was people have long said, why doesn't New York have a photo festival, considering that New York, in many ways, can claim to be the center of photography. There are more galleries here, photo galleries, than any place else on Earth. So I think it was just the notion that photography is so important in this city, so extensively exhibited in the city, that it just seemed to make sense to have a festival here, which is a very purposeful gathering over a couple days of photo lovers from around the globe.
So let's talk about the exhibition that you curated, and I guess it's called The Pavilion, right?
Yes, my show is titled Chisel, and it's in the St. Anne's warehouse space. St. Anne's is a theater, a working theater, that they've turned over to us for the duration of the festival. And my show consists of 10 artists, and they're all photographers. Thematically, what I set out to do was to show work by photographers who are engaging in a dialogue with painting and sculpture. The notion was to somehow choose work that formally seemed to be fueled by or fed by some kind of hunger for the kinds of compositions and color palette and brushstrokes almost that one normally thinks of in connection with painting and sculpture. So I liked the idea of, and was some of the work that I was loving the most seemed to have that aspect to it. Roger Ballen's work was a catalyst for me because he was the first one. He was the starting point for the festival. When I had seen some of his pictures earlier in the year and just was blown away by these exquisite still lives that featured in the picture lots of mark making, drawing, scribbles, scratches, wires dangling from walls. Like, Roger had taken everything even a step further than he had in his earlier work. He had more or less removed the human figure, the live human figure, other than, as it's represented by body parts, a bit of a hand sticks in the frame or a foot, like just parts of it. And they were so Picasso-esque. They were images that just triggered for me a kind of inner dialogue, just looking at the pictures in terms of the way, in the manner that I would look at, let's say, portraits by Picasso or sort of the drawings of Basquiat. Like, I just loved the idea that there was this dialogue between his images and that part of art history, not necessarily photographic art history, but art history as in painting and sculpture. So it seemed like there were great things that had happened earlier in modern art, whether it was the abstract expressionist movement that I think you'll see in the work by Horatio Salinas. He does these huge black and white images composed of shredded tires that he picked up across the U.S. on a three-week road trip. He set out in search of those tires. Why? He was going to ship them back to New York, as he did, at the end of last summer with the intention of making still lives out of this shredded rubber. And of course, you look at these things, you stand in front of them, and you respond to them viscerally in the way you would to a Franz Klein standing in front of one of his huge canvases. And yet their photos, and photos always deliver history. At some point, that tire blew out on the road on a truck, and there was a moment of that kind of violence one would almost expect with the blowout. So I just liked the idea that each of the artists I chose is making work that's very pleasing on a purely abstract, visual, formal, you know, level, and that the work is very sensually appealing. Like, I think all the work that I've got is seductive work. It's beautiful to look at. And then the more you know about it, it all has some kind of narrative content or history.
Kathy, how did you find out about the photographer's work? Was this work that was juried, or was this photography that you'd been following for a while?
In each case was different. Roger Ballen's the most renowned, of course, in the sense that he has an established career. And this work I found when he came, I mean, I knew of his work for years, but this particular body of work was his newest work that he came to the New York Times offices to show to me and Kira Pollack, the deputy photo editor. Catherine Wolkoff, I first found her work judging a photo competition 9 or 10 years ago. And the deer beds that I'm exhibiting here came to my attention when she also came into the Times with a box of prints. Just to, you know, she comes periodically, will come to meet with me to show me something and say, this is my new work, this is a new project I'm on. Stephen Gill, same thing. I've first saw his work also judging something and kind of fell in love with it 8 or 9 years ago. Tracked him down, and he's worked periodically, as Catherine has, on assignment for the New York Times Magazine. And I regularly look at his work. I love his books. You know, we've had an ongoing creative dialogue for a while. And he had just published these anonymous origami pieces in a wonderful small edition artist book. And I love that work. So I contacted him to say, could I show these? And almost more importantly, do you have a new body of work that's never been shown or published? And he said, yes, he did. And that was the bedding slips that we're also showing in this exhibit that he calls a series of disappointments. And it's a series of pictures of crumpled up bedding tickets from bedding parlors in Hackney in England, where there's apparently like 70, 71 bedding parlors. And he's photographed each one individually. So it looks like an exquisite, beautiful, like almost abstract sculpture. And when you realize afterwards what they are, that moments before it was in the palm of somebody's hand and it was, you know, wish and a hope that they had a winning ticket only to be crunched up and cast away, again, they have even that much more meaning. It just kind of amplifies the beauty of them. And they're all different, so they also, they're almost character studies. Some people twirl theirs up and twist them up in a very neat fashion, and some they're very uptight, some of them are just crunched up. I mean, it's fun to look at them and almost imagine the person who had it in their hand and then just tossed it away. And of course, it's delightful to imagine Stephen Gill traipsing along behind them and picking these things up and carefully preserving them to send them home to be photographed or bring them back.
And who are some of the other artists that we haven't talked about in this pavilion?
Some of the other artists are Simon Norfolk, great photographer based in England, who's done a lot of work for the New York Times Magazine, and who I'm always keen on because he's truly one of the pioneers of dancing on that thin line between documentary work and fine artwork. He regularly goes out and covers extremely newsworthy, politicized subjects dealing with, in particular, the impact of military buildup around the world, in particular American military buildup and expeditions. And he brings a large camera. He brings a whole different kind of eye and study to the subject. It's not reportage. It's not documentary in any traditional sense. And yet it is, because it works on both levels. They are fine documents, and they transcend just the document. So in this case, we are showing his rocket launches. It's a project he just started, and he's currently embarked on. He's still at work on it, which is another thing I love about this festival, because right from the start, when they asked me to curate a show, I thought, you know, the work had to be really new, that part of what could define a New York photo festival and distinguish it from others is that, you know, being New York right to the minute, it'd be great to put work up on the walls that was barely, you know, out of the can, as it were, that instead of the work being fully baked and pondered in the way most work that exhibited is, I liked the notion that we would put something up there that was really raw and brand new. And Simon's is very much the case. The last picture was only shot 2.5 weeks ago, and he's continuing on. And in this case, the big rocket launch images are these just beautiful lovely, transcendent, abstract canvases, really sort of Mark Rothko-esque, if I don't mind saying so myself. And yet then there's lots and lots and lots of caption info and meaning behind them. Some of them are military payloads. 3 times a year, the U.S. government sends up a nuclear test missile to blow it out of the sky just to test all the apparatus. Some of them are listening devices. Some of them are just commercial satellites. So this stuff gets shot up into space all the time, something I think most people kind of forget. And Simon's images deliver that, the news of that, and at the same time, they're just lovely, beautiful, again, very seductive and sensual images that I think are pleasing just as pure visual statements. Across from his work in the show is the work of Andreas Gefeller, and his are these big, huge images that are very minimalist in their look and very abstract. And same thing, he goes out in the world and he'll photograph trees in a park, or he'll photograph an airplane runway, or he'll photograph the graffiti on a rooftop in Brooklyn, and he then takes it and recombines it and multiplies and sandwiches it and ultimately creates a kind of big all-over canvas loaded with detail, but also, again, formally very informed by what I think of as the kind of organization that one would imagine a kind of modernist painter using, more than one would imagine like a sort of modernist photographer. Then there's the work of Alejandra Laviada, wonderful photographer living in Mexico City, whose work I first encountered just 2 or 3 years ago. Again, I was judging something up at the Maine Photo Workshop, fell in love with her work, made a mental note. A year later, I see this incredible work on the wall at the SVA School of Visual Arts graduating MFA show, and I just thought, this is amazing, and fell in love with it again. So if without realizing it was the same photographer, and at that point thought, wow. And I just think she's amazing because she'll go into abandoned spaces that resonate with history and detritus and all sorts of things that are always appealing to photographers. I mean, there's many people love to go into abandoned rooms and buildings because they are so resonant. But what was different about Alejandra's work was that she then took the things she encountered, old plastic buckets, old telephones, old beat-up chairs, piles of white drinking straws, old tires. She would take the things she found and intervene with them, and she would build these beautiful, delightful sculptures. And the work was suffused with wit. Again, in thinking about, well, if I were to connect this to her twin in the world of painting or sculpture, I couldn't help but think of Marcel Duchamp and the fun he has had with ready-mades and taking something that was one thing and sort of transforming it into something else, even if simply just by titling it. And she was doing that. She was taking something that was some kind of ordinary object and just taking it and rearranging it and stacking other multiple examples of it up and creating a whole other new sculpture. They are all sculptures. And one of the ones in the show that I think is most wonderful is one where she's stacked up a bunch of plastic containers and made them into this sculpture that kind of tips over slightly and, for me, evokes Bird in Space, the Brancusi sculpture that's so classic. So she has a real keen grasp of a kind of, and knowledge clearly of art history, not just photo history, but the broader world of art history. And I just think it's delightful to look at her pictures and just think about all of those sort of sculptors who've gone before her and how she's now taking this found detritus and this castaway garbage and making these things that are just beautiful. And I should also say witty. Like, one of the things that defines her work is the sense of wit to it. And that's very unusual in photography. Very few photographers can claim wit. It's the hardest thing to find. And she definitely has it. And in the same room, there's the work by Lars Tunborg from a body of work. He's a Swedish photographer, and he's done a book called Vinter that just came out this year. And they're all images, the most documentary of images that you can imagine within the show of people, places, objects in the landscape, but they all work as some kind of metaphor of the human condition and the psyche. And sure enough, for him, the project was about the depression he experiences at the heart of winter, like the long northern European winter. And you know that. You look at these various objects in his images that seem unconnected, and they are so suffused with a kind of mood and darkness of temperament that you realize they are some sort of, he's managed to take what he encounters in the real world and chisel out of it a portrayal of a state of mind. and I loved that. Also in that room is the work of Julian Fallhaber, a German artist, who, same thing, he'll go photograph a basketball court or an office or a gas station, and they get stripped away a little bit so that they're these very pristine, sparkling, highly colorful, almost primary colors, canvases that, again, you just look at them and the modernist principles defining them compositionally is just beautiful, and they're very much about some kind of dialogue with painting. I just think there's no doubt about it. And then the other work in the show is Autopsy by Rafael de la Porta. And what he's done, and he's gone in when autopsies are being done, and he's photographed isolated body parts and organs, and it sounds quite terrifying, and it is. So we've kind of presented them in vitrines off to the side on their own in almost a kind of slightly darkened, subdued corner. But I was taken with the sheer sculptural presence of them, the dark reds, and it just seemed to me an exciting thing to do, to put them in this show with other work that was about sculptural form, the solidity of things, the beauty of the shapes of things, the color of things. And here he's got, you know, a heart has a beautiful shape. The redness of it is, it's a brilliant red when it first comes out. So in some ways I think of him as the most provocative and adventurous connection to this whole notion, but I liked the idea that people going through the show would make those connections, that they would see, well, why in the world would you have this in the same show as Roger Bowne's Black and Whites, in the same show as the kind of playful color assemblages of Alejandro Laviada? And I was hoping by the time they finished the journey through the exhibit, they would start to see the connections that I see in it.
Now, while we're speaking, there are lectures going on in the back, there's panel discussions. So they've organized a whole series of events that seems to happen every hour or so, right?
Yes, there are panel discussions throughout the day, all day. This evening there will be an awards program. People were invited to submit work to a competition, and they'll announce the recipients this evening. So yes, there are many, you know, other activities in connection with the main exhibitions. And besides the four main curated exhibitions, there are a number of satellite shows and installations.
Now, this is the age of digital, but I'm noticing a lot of the new fine artwork seems to be film-based.
Maybe that reflects that I'm particularly drawn to the look of film-based work. I like the sheer beauty of it. The sort of sensual quality of the color. Yes, I would say a lot of this work in my show in particular is film-based. Very traditional in that sense. There's no doubt that the work in my show is... The organization of my show is probably the most traditional of the shows here, and the work presented in it is, other than, I think, the thing that's maybe most contemporary about it, is that this sense of photographers pushing past the boundaries of photography and making imagery informed by a knowledge of painting and sculpture as much as it's informed by a knowledge and a love of photography is something that I think is relatively new or out there today or in the current at this moment in time.
So have you had a chance to look at the other work in other pavilions? Do you feel there's a real sense of diversity in this photo festival?
One of the things I think is terrific about the festival is there is so much diversity between the exhibitions. Daniel and Powers and Frank Evers did an incredible job, I think, in choosing four curators who would come up with very distinct ideas. And without even consulting, ultimately. I mean, yes, we talked back and forth a little bit, but we really were off each on our own, making our own decisions. And it's just nice in the end to see the way it came together. It was kind of organic, and that each exhibit is very different from the previous ones. I think there's a lot of richness here for the viewer.
Kathy, if people want to learn more about the exhibitions that you've curated here for the festival, where can they go?
People can learn more about the exhibitions at the festival by going to the website newyorkphotofestival.com.
I want to thank Kathy Ryan of the New York Times for spending time with us today, and it's kind of fun for you to take a spin on the curatorial side and not have to meet the deadline of a print edition, huh?
It's true. It's all very true. It is fun. On the other hand, I have a newfound appreciation for just how difficult it is to install a major exhibition. Anyway, I was on a steep learning curve, let's say, but I think it's all turned out great.
Thanks a whole lot for spending time with us today, Kathy.
Thank you.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Fogel. You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio, available on the web at www.maceditionradio.com. contents are copyright 2008 and may not be used without written permission.